We just heard from our go-to panel of dads. We are going to end today where we began with our moms in the past 7 years. Actually, even before that, when we started online as the Rough Cuts podcast. Anybody remember that? We've gotten their best advice on everything from multicultural Santa Clauses to confronting bullies to how to support a transgender child. We've talked about all kinds of child-rearing philosophies, from helicopter parenting to so-called free-range parenting. And on occasion, they give big ups to old-school parenting, if you get my meaning. So how could we end without sampling their greatest hits and squeezing out a few more tips with Jolene Ivey? She's a Maryland state lawmaker and a mom of five and the co-founder of a parenting support group, the Mocha Moms. Leslie Morgan Steiner is with us. She's an author, most recently of The Baby Chase and a mom of three. Araceli Panameño is director of Latino Affairs at the Center for Responsible Lending. She's a mom of one, and recently she has become the grandmother of one. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Danny Tucker is an administrator and a fitness instructor and a mom of two. Welcome back to everybody. Thank you all for coming.
Hey,
thanks, Michelle.
Gracias, Michelle.
So let me start by digging something out of the archives. This was June 2007. And just weeks after we went on the air, we talked about the pressure a lot of women feel to be a perfect mother. And Jolene, this is what you said.
Uh-oh. I was a perfect mother, let me tell you. No, there was a time when I actually, not only did I make my baby's food, I made organic cat food.
No.
Okay,
She makes me sick.
And it was very scary, but I only had two children then, and my husband said, you don't have enough to do. And I think he was right. Now, I have definitely grown as a mother since then quite a bit, and I do look at it as growing. When I was able to give up things like making the cat's food, for God's sake, give me a break. So now everybody's lucky to get a meal from me at all these days because I am really busy. But I had to really think about what is important, and those things are not important. They're just not.
So what do you think when you hear that?
Well, you know, it's true. I remember making the cat's food, and that was kind of insane. And I just had another super busy year, and I had to hire people to cook for my family because there was no other way that they were going to live other than they'd be eating, you know, got pizza delivery and wings from 7-Eleven. That would have been it. So, and actually it turned out to be quite affordable. So I was happy about that, but I did miss cooking. And it's just one of those ways we take care of our families, and I miss that. And it was kind of interesting hearing that again.
When have you changed your mind? Just thinking about the time that we've been working together, is there anything else you think you've changed your mind about over the last 7 years about what's important and what isn't?
Well, I'm not sure I've changed my mind. It's been kind of interesting for me to get feedback from people because I sit here in a room with you lovely ladies, and you're like just friends I sit and talk with. And then you forget that there's all these other people out in the world who hear your conversation. And they send me emails, you know, to my personal email address or to my Facebook account, and they tell me how wrong I am about things I've said and done. And, you know, I always listen because I'm pretty good about considering people's opinions, and then I pretty much decide, no, I'm still right.
Okay. Leslie, what about you? Is there anything you think you've changed your mind about over the last 7 years, or is there anything that you think maybe these conversations have helped you see differently?
Oh, so much. You know, the first thing is that my life has changed so radically in the last 5 years that I've been coming on this show. My kids are now teenagers. My mom died a couple of years ago. After 20 years of marriage, I'm getting divorced. So it's a really different time for me as a parent and as a woman. But the constant for me has been how much I have loved the conversations we've had. I think that there is a real lack of civilized disagreement among moms today. And what I've treasured about being on this show has been having really different opinions in this studio and having it be very respectful and having my opinions respected, but you know, sometimes disagreeing. And I also love all of the moms who come up to me in car line or, you know, via Facebook or email and tell me that they either agreed or disagreed. I think that's what I long for so much in my life going forward, is to continue this conversation with moms about the great work of motherhood and how we all do it so differently.
Mm-hmm. Araceli, what about you? Is there anything you've changed your mind about over the years that you've been on the air? And congrats on becoming a grandma.
I'm very excited. Thank you. Shout out to Saida Michelle, Saida Gabrielle, who is in a NICU at UVA Medical. She was a preemie, but we're looking forward to bringing her home. So I'm very excited about, you know, sitting by her side and reading stories to her in Spanish and in English, and praying and supporting my daughter and her boyfriend. Have I changed anything? I think as my colleagues and friends here at the table, I have really totally treasured being with you ladies. This has been a diverse panel, not only race, ethnicity, but also socioeconomically. And it has allowed me to compare notes and to know that in the commonality and the fundamentals of being a mom, that we have this commitment to actually making our children better people, that we're able to, right, than we could ever be ourselves. Try to help them avoid the pitfalls, try to teach them lessons and to love them above all, to love them. And so it has compared notes, learned, and reaffirm what I know as a parent, what I've learned from my grandmother and my mother.
Danny, what about you?
Same here. I mean, I've matured as a mother, and I thank you all, every last one of you, for helping me do that. I agree with all that was just said about how our lives have changed, and at the same time, having this sisterhood that we have had has helped me see different aspects of motherhood, the way different people do it, and how we still have a common ground, and that we all want the same thing for our kids. So I truly have been blessed, and just thank you all for having me. It's just been a wonderful time.
If you're just joining us, it's our final Moms panel. Our regular contributors are with us, Danny Tucker, Araceli Panameño, Leslie Morgenstierner, and Jolene Ivy. Leslie, now it's your turn. I have another clip from the archives. This is from 2008, and I asked you what advice you would give your own children about parenting, and this is what you said.
Mm-hmm. Parenthood is incredibly hard, and no one can capture the great highs and the great lows. And this idea that motherhood is supposed to balance us is so crazy. Kids are actually supposed to unbalance us and make us feel rage like we never felt before and love like we never felt before and peace and insanity. And I would encourage my kids to go for it with their eyes wide open and try to enjoy it as much as possible.
So is there anything you think you were wrong about?
Oh my God, so much that I was wrong about. Oh boy. But I stand by what I just said on that clip from so many years ago. And, my kids, they used to love me so much. And now that they're teenagers, they just hate me so passionately at times. And I got to say, I still love it. I love the teenagers. And I hated my mom when I was a teenage girl, too. And so I don't take it personally. And I think that parenthood is a great, great adventure. I think what I was wrong about is that there was any kind of control possible here. And I also think that like Jolene, I started out to be the perfect mom with perfect children. And every single minute of motherhood, my standards have gone down. And that is the most wonderful thing. You know, I used to think that my daughter was going to be like the next president of the United States. And really now I just want her to graduate from high school and maybe go to college, any college, doesn't matter. I don't want my kids to go to jail. I want to have them in my life. And motherhood has a way of just breaking us down and humanizing us, I think, if we go with it in that way. And I feel very lucky to have gone with it in that way and to have had everybody hear it tell me more, you especially, Michelle, to help us find that all together.
Yeah, Danny, what about you? I have to say that I hear about each of you, as you would imagine, through various venues and at the grocery store and in the on Facebook, and of course, each of you has a following, and I'm grateful for that. But Danny, I have to say that of all the guests, I often hear the most about your comments, because you stand up for kind of tough love, old school style, and also also just letting people know that everybody's lives are different, and sometimes the decisions you feel you have to make are different from the ones that people make who have different circumstances. And I just wanted to ask if there's anything that you want to say that you haven't had a chance to say. You know, also, your life has changed a lot, too. I mean, you've opened your own business. You've sent your son off to the Navy. You started, when we started, you had, a little girl at home and a preteen, and now you've got a Navy man.
And off to college next year she goes.
And your daughter off to college next year. Anything that you want to add that you feel like you want to say that you haven't had a chance to say?
Nope, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm going to stick to it till they're 40. I'll be going upside their head when they're 50 if necessary. I mean, I am who I am, and I ain't changing, But I have grown with my kids, and they have grown with me, and it has been just wonderful journey, you know, to just grow with your kids. I mean, one thing I would say or add to the things I've added is grow with your kids. If I haven't said that over the 7 years, grow with your kids, because sometimes we feel like we don't need to grow anymore. Oh, yes, we do. And my kids have taught me that I'm still growing, I'm still maturing, and I'm still, you know, metamorphosing into this, you know, next stage of parenting. It doesn't stop. You know, I'm parenting young adults now. Whoa, we need to do a show on that now.
You know? We'll figure that out. We got to find a spot. Well, if we have to gather on the corner, we can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Araceli, what about you? One of the things that you've brought to us is that whole experience of, like, you know, being a parent and having one foot in one world and one foot in another world. And you've talked about, like, having, say, elders from, you know, your home country, like, second guessing your choices and saying, you know, this is wrong, or you're letting your daughter go, and having your daughter second guess you to say, Mom, you know, you're too old school, that's old country, that's not the way it is. Is there anything you want to add about that you haven't had a chance to say that you really think is important?
Yeah, no, straddling the cultures has been a significant challenge, and being here with you all, you know, as I said, reaffirms and confirms sort of like female intuition, I would say. Which is very important for us to listen to. I would agree with Danny in terms of my willingness to learn. If that is one of the things that I've learned from my daughter, you know, that I needed throughout her life, it was a process of my letting go of her, teaching her to be an independent self. And so learning to let go, it took 20 years for me to do that. So I have not necessarily changed my mind on anything. Our relationship now that she's a mom, she is come around. She's sort of like telling me the lessons that I, you know, so eagerly tried to teach her, and I did not know if it had stuck. But now she's repeating certain things, and I'm listening, and I hear the echoes of the messages that I was delivering, and I'm really glad that she got it.
You know, one of the things I'm curious about, though, is you know, one of the things that I've appreciated is that a lot of people have told us, well, this, I feel like I'm listening to my mother and my sisters at the kitchen table. But most people don't have mothers and sisters who are, you know, African-American, Latino, you know, white, and like all these different backgrounds. And the question I have is, like, how do you get this without something artificial like this? I mean, you know, we created this and we called each other up and said, okay, why don't you do this? And then Leslie, you wrote a book, and Araceli, we heard about you because when you ran for office in Prince William County, that's how we met. Yeah. And then Jolene, you're a state lawmaker, and you had this parenting support group. And Danny, you were in the media before working at it. So how do you get that benefit of different perspectives without something kind of invented? Because one of the things that, you know, kids open up your world, but they also narrow it, right? Because one of the things that you do with kids is you pick their friends. I mean, that's considered isn't that kind of one of the core responsibilities of parenthood, is narrowing their circle and deciding who's going to be in their world?
You can do that when they're little, but as they get bigger, you cannot do that anymore. Your time is running out, Michelle. I'm just telling you.
I hear, okay, well, thank you for that. But you see my question, Leslie? Look, how do you get that information? How do you get the benefit of other people's perspectives when you don't have an artificial creation like this?
It's a really fundamental question. And the only painful part of being on the show is that every time that I have talked about anything having to do with race, I have gotten so much hate email and phone calls from the black moms in my life. And they tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And they're all right. It's true. But I'm trying. You can't see me because I'm on the radio, but I'm white. And I, as I always say, I'm very white.
Because we can tell.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jill. And I just think that there's such a dearth of conversation between white moms and black moms in particular, even though we have such, or maybe because we have such a long, complicated history together in this country. And I don't know how you get that. I try to keep on being open and bumbling my way through it and just trying to look for the black moms in my life who seem willing to forgive me for the idiotic things I say. And maybe they're wiser than I am. And
or not.
Or
maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe they're just forgiving. I don't know. It's astonishing to me how ignorant even I, and I think of myself as sensitive and well-educated, and I grew up in Washington, which is a majority black city, how little I know about the experience of being a person of color, a woman of color, a mom of color in this country. And I'm starving for it. I wish I had more of it. And it's my favorite thing about this show is that I've been able to be open and to be forgiven for the dumb things I say. And it's probably the saddest thing, the thing I'm going to miss the most about this show going off the air.
Joey, what about you? How do you get that? I mean, you travel. I mean, you recently ran for lieutenant governor, and so you're in public life. Your husband is a former public official. So how do you get that without a? What do? You just ask? Walk up to people the safe way?
You know, I think I have a very diverse life. I have friends from all walks of life. I don't have to have anything artificial to get this. You can just come over and have a drink sometimes, except for I don't think you really drink.
I don't, but she'll get me some Kool-Aid, I'm sure.
Exactly. Happy to, except for that's got artificial colors.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
But when we're picking our children's friends, when we have that opportunity when they're little, we need to do that more mindfully, perhaps, and make sure that you're not just picking black friends if you're black, and if you're white, only picking white friends for your kids. You have to make that step. And also, at the same time, those moms become your friends. So I think that if we can all just make a little extra effort, it's not just up to white people or up to black people or up to Latinos. It's up to all of us. You know, Asians have to make a little extra effort maybe, but we all just need to work a little harder to reach out.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end than that. So, Jolene Ivey, thank you. Jolene Ivey is the co-founder of the Mocha Moms, a parenting support group, a Maryland state lawmaker, a mom of five. Dani Tucker is a fitness instructor and an administrative assistant and a mom of two. She's with us on the line from her new office in Washington, D.C. Leslie Morgensteiner is an author and mom of three here in our Washington, D.C. studios, along with Araceli Panameño, director of Latino Affairs at the Center for Responsible Lending, and a mom of one and a new grandma of one. Thank you all so much for joining us today and throughout the years, and your friendship and your wisdom. We thank you so much.
Gracias.
Thank you all.
Thank you.